ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Imagine, though, if you lived in a penthouse on the top of a skyscraper, right? Way up there. From that high up, you have a different perspective than someone living on the ground floor, right? From that high up, you could look down and see all that's going on down below. If you're living on the first floor, you could just see pretty much what's right out in front of you. How does that apply to our spiritual lives? Well, where I'm living, I'm on the ground floor. I could only see these things. But you know what? I know someone who's up there, and it's the Lord. And He can show me what I need to do. How important that is, having that perspective. And that way we can live to please God. And Paul is going to sum this up, the perspective he gives to us of who should be seen in our lives and what we wait for. Look at verses 3 and 4 here in Colossians chapter 3. He said, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Remember what Paul said in Philippians 1:21? "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." In Philippians, Paul was speaking of physical death and how he was going to be with the Lord. But what I want you to see is that as he lived, he didn't live for himself. He didn't want his life really to be seen by others. He wanted Christ to be seen in him, and Jesus was his life. His life was, you know, not this or that. His life was Christ, and that should be for us as well. And that's what Paul is saying here in Colossians 3:3, that we're dead, or that old man was crucified with Christ. We're a new creation in Christ. And we need to understand that at the time of our salvation, we died to sin. The old life or the old man passed away. We've been raised up new in Christ. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I'm thankful for that. Turn back to Romans for a second, chapter 6. I'm going to read a few verses out of here. Romans chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 3 through 11. Listen to what Paul wrote. He said, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin," or cleared from sin. "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon or consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." What happens in our life when we die to self when we're raised in Christ? Paul finishes up. Look at verse 12 here in Romans 6. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments or weapons of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments or weapons of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." You see, look at here at verse 4 here in Colossians 3. "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." I think, you know, Paul is talking about live for God now. Don't let sin have control of your life because the Lord is coming back. Now, when he talks about when he appears, is he talking about the rapture? Well, it could be. But I think knowing that the Lord's coming back helps us to live a life that would honor him, because who wants to be doing something that would dishonor him when he came back? John talks about that in 1 John 3, verses 2 through 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. You see, we will receive our resurrection bodies at the time of the rapture, those who are alive and those who have died in Christ. But I think this even goes beyond that here in Colossians, because we're going to be with the Lord. And I think that it goes on into the kingdom age, because we're going to always be. Once the rapture, once we're taken up to be with the Lord, or we die, we're going to be with the Lord forever. And when he returns to set up his kingdom, guess what? We're with him. We see that in Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. Now I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I think we're that army that John speaks of. We're clothed in fine linen, white and clean. The only way that happens is by the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you want to live a life that God desires, you got to be centered upon Christ. Paul in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, a new creation, God's living in me. But sometimes I get in the way and I block people from seeing Jesus in my life. I need to get out of the way. Less of me, more of him. We need to set our minds on the things above. We need to be focused on the things above, upon Jesus. Well, back in Colossians here, look at verse 5. Paul says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. Now, again, we don't hear this too often in the church, but we are to put to death, mortify the flesh, and we are to do it now. I think it was Modesty who put a Facebook post that had talked about this, you know, putting to death the flesh, mortifying the flesh. And someone had posted that, oh, no, we got to love ourselves more because, you know, that's what God wants. And, you know, I don't get really involved in that stuff anymore. But the key for me is book, chapter, and verse. Show me where we are to love ourselves. And, you know, the verse he gave was something to the effect that, you know, we are to love others like we love ourselves. Well, it doesn't say we're to love ourselves more. We love ourselves so much that we're to take that love that we love ourselves with and love others that way. I mean, really, we don't see the craze as much anymore. But remember when selfies were the big thing? People were taking selfies all the time. So much so they weren't even paying attention. They're falling off of hills and mountains and things. I'm thinking, why? Because we love ourselves so much, we want everyone to see how much we love ourselves. And I guarantee you, we all love ourselves. You know why? Because I'm looking at all your faces and your hair is combed and you've got nice clothes on. And if you didn't love yourself, you would look like garbage. You wouldn't care. But we do care about ourselves. Now, do some people care more than others? Sure. But you will never find in the scriptures a verse to say you're to love yourself. But you will find many that say you need to crucify the flesh. Put it to death, because that's our problem. It gets in the way of us ministering to other people. And the best way to deal with this is to go help people. Go minister to people. Go take care of people. And I'll tell you what, your flesh will get out of the way because now you're concerned about others. That's what we need to do. In fact, you know, Paul opens up this section with the word therefore. Since you have been crucified with Christ, since you've been raised with Christ, since you are seeking those things that are above, since you have set your mind on the things that are above, since Christ is in you, then put to death that flesh. Don't feed it. Don't play with it. You crucify it. And then the works of the flesh will not be manifested in your life. In fact, this Paul's was basically saying is we need to make it dead. Yeah, crucify it. And he talks about several different sins here. You know, he talks about sexual sins of fornication, of uncleanness or moral filth, passion or uncontrollable lust, evil desires or illicit cravings, covetousness or greed. Just lusting after these things. But you know what? If you're content in the Lord, these things won't be an issue. Fill your mind with the things that are good, that are going to build you up, that are going to help you. And we need to not lose perspective of the lost. Because the way they live, that's all they know. Yes, God has given them a consciousness of what's right or wrong, but that consciousness can be seared. So much so that they don't know right from wrong anymore. And when I mean right from wrong, I mean what God says is right and what God says is wrong. So we need to love them, not look at them in a self-righteous manner, looking down upon them. How could you act like that? How could you do that? That's how we acted before we were saved. And we have to understand that the wrath of God is coming upon them. That's what Paul said. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Because they have rejected Jesus. In fact, in John 3:36, Jesus said, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." You know, in John 3, he also talked about the reason being that they love darkness more than the light. That doesn't mean we shouldn't stop shining, because I'll tell you what, living out in the world apart from Christ, it'll beat you and beat you and beat you, because Satan doesn't care for you. And if we stop shining, we're not going to be able to help. So you continue to shine, not being obnoxious, but loving people, reaching out to them. So important. When I was growing up, they had that movie, The Way We Were. Oh my gosh, I hate it. I worked in a movie theater, and I always had to go in and check on everyone, and there's that movie, you know, The Way We Were. These are like memories of the way we were, okay? This is the way we were, but no longer. Not any longer. In fact, in Romans 6, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" That's the key. You know, people talk about grace. Oh, you know, grace, you could do whatever you want then. It doesn't matter because it's unmerited favor. God has saved us, so I could do whatever I want. It doesn't matter. Your heart's wrong. Paul said, look, shall you continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. God forbid. What is wrong with you? Or, you know, what my grandmother used to say, what's the matter you? And then she would smack me on the back of the head. You know, who are we identifying ourselves with, Jesus or the world? That's a key point, okay? Because the choice you make is going to have consequences, one that's good or one that's bad. We have to have ears to hear and then hearts to obey. You know, not just reading God's word, but then as God's speaking to our hearts, that we change those things that we need to change in our own lives. That's how we grow. That's how we mature. Well, here in Colossians 3, look at verse 8. But now you must also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So Paul is speaking of removing all traces of worldliness that's in us. Put off these things. comes from a Greek word that speaks of removing clothes. I guess in this case you would say removing the dirty clothes and putting on Christ. Why would we want to keep the old clothes on? I was reading an article that was talking about the great plague that hit England in the 1660s. Some 100,000 people died in the plague. But here's the tragedy of the whole thing. When people died, and mostly at that time that they died from the plague, they would take the clothes off the dead and they would give them to their family and friends. And they spread and, you know, perpetrated the plague to everyone else. How does that play out for us? Well, if we keep on those old defiled clothes, keep those sins in our life, as we hang around our Christian friends, as we go to church, we're going to infect and destroy the lives of others. It will affect us, absolutely, but it can affect those around us. Take off those old garments, put on the new garments, put on Christ. We've read some of the sexual sins that Paul was focusing on. And, you know, Paul's going to talk about, really now, things that come out of our mouth. That's a harder one, isn't it? The things that we say, oh my gosh. James said, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And James hits it hard. I mean, James is a tough letter to read, man, because he just nails you. It's like, bam, bam, bam. Okay, James, take it easy, man. But he's just telling it like it is. And the tongue, as small as a member of our body it is, can do a lot of damage, can it? And thus we need to allow the Lord to tame our tongue. We need to surrender to Him. Because we have control. We know what God wants us to say. Is our mind set on the things above? Are we living accordingly? God's not going to force us to say certain things. But boy, He'll give us the opportunity to. And that's the wonderful thing. He wants us to grow. And a lot of times He shows us what's in our heart when someone says something to us and the things that we, how we respond. And when we think we're doing really well, I think the Lord goes, well, let's look at this area a little bit. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't see that one coming. Where did that come from? Well, it was in there. And God just, you know, one of my friends says it's like peeling an onion. There's many layers to it. And He keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper, looking at our heart, what's in there. You know, Paul talks about here in this section, you know, anger. It's kind of a deep, smoldering spirit festering inside of you. Wrath, in the Greek, it speaks of a sudden outburst of anger, like a volcano blowing its top. It's messy, quick and messy, I guess. Malice is referring to harming people by the words we say. Blasphemy just talks about insults and putting down others to hurt them. Filthy language, well, yeah, just what it means. Lies, it's an untruth, to deceive someone, a falsehood, to justify something or to make yourself look better. We can't do that. Paul says, take those things off. Remove those filthy garments because they're inconsistent with the child of God who's focused upon Christ. Well, what are we to put on then? Well, Paul tells us in Colossians 3:10, and he speaks of putting on the new man, putting on Christ. Now, let me say this because, you know, it's easy to go down this path where we go, you know, I just need to try harder. I need to be better. I need to do this and I need to do that. And there's one word that's wrong in that whole thing. I. I can't do it, but the Lord can help me to do it. I need Him. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We need to remember that because, again, it's really easy to go down this rabbit trail that leads to nowhere where we try to be better and better and better. And what ends up happening is many times we just get really frustrated and frustrated because we want to be better. And it's like Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Who can deliver me from this? Then he talks about Jesus. Well, yeah, you need to bring it to Him. Absolutely. This is really what God has done for us. He's clothed us in His righteousness. And then He's working on the inside, in our hearts, so the things that flow from our lives will reflect His nature. But we need to surrender to Him. And here's the thing. The moment you receive Jesus, the old man was put off. Not the old nature, but the old man. And there is a difference. The old man is not our old nature, because our old nature doesn't grow corrupt. Our old nature is already corrupt. It is corrupt. And that old nature will be with us until the rapture, we go home to be with the Lord. We're carrying these bodies around with us. Remember what Paul said in Corinthians, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We will be changed. And it's a metamorphosis. It's like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. It's still the caterpillar, but now it's changed into this beautiful butterfly. And that's what's going to happen when we get our new bodies. The death of these bodies of flesh, our new body in Christ. So again, we live out our lives so people could see Jesus in us. Too often, though, we're dressed inappropriately and people aren't seeing Jesus. And I'll give you this example. Many years ago now, there was a relative of Julie and myself. It was Julie's uncle, actually. And he was very, very rich. He worked really hard. He was a radiologist. He didn't spend any money. He saved it and saved it and saved it. And many years ago, when we were living in Schaumburg, Illinois, he came to visit. And I don't know why, on Julie's side of the family, they pretty much just call and say, we're here. And that's what happened. He lived in Australia at the time. And here he was in Schaumburg visiting us. And I never met him before. And I went to the train station to pick him up. And here was this guy dressed in this raggedy old trench coat. He had this suitcase that was wrapped with rope to hold it together so it wouldn't fall apart. That was Julie's uncle. He was a multimillionaire. You would never know it. He lived like a pauper. And I think for us as Christians, we have to dress ourselves in accordance to the new identity we have in Christ. We need to put on Christ and put off the old self. We don't want to go back to those things. And we do have a choice to make what clothes we wear every day. And we have a choice every day to put on Christ or put on those old clothes of the old life. What do you want to do? And I like this, what Paul says here, this new life in Christ, where there is neither Greek in verse 11, nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The new man is part of the family of God. And there's no walls of division anymore. I love that. No walls of nationalism, you know, Greek or Gentile, Jew were removed. Walls of religion, circumcised and uncircumcised. Cultural wars, barbarian, or those who didn't speak the Greek language, and Scythian, or a wild savage that was a nomad. Those walls were removed. The social walls, slave or free, were removed. Why? Because we're part of the family of God in Christ. There is no division. There should be none. You know, Paul in Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 16 put it like this. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. For the Jews, Gentiles in their minds were created to fuel the fires of hell. Now, a Gentile could become a Jew. That would be okay. But if you were a Gentile, you were worthless. That's how the Jews saw it. They wouldn't even go into your home to eat. And now Paul is saying, look, that middle wall of separation has been brought down. In fact, in the temple area, the court of the Gentiles was the outer courts. And there were signs put up, if you went past this point, death was in your own hands, basically. If the Jews put you to death because you crossed this into another court, that was it. Paul's saying that middle wall of division, gone. We're one in Christ. There are no walls of division anymore. And again, that's important. As we continue on, starting here in Colossians 3:12, Paul's going to list what that new man looks like in our lives, and it's really from a practical standpoint. Look at verse 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again, we see this word therefore, and the idea here is that since we have put off the old man and put on Christ, these are the things that should flow from our lives.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.